The following is an audio podcast from the Korea Society. The Korea Society, in 2007, celebrating 50 years of promoting greater awareness, understanding, and cooperation between the people of the United States and Korea. For more information on our programs, please visit our website at www.koreasociety.org.
"오늘 동화는 캐티가 읽고 가야금은 정주가, 장거는 마리아가 연주합니다.
Greetings. Thank you for joining us. My friend Maria Kangju-so just welcomed you in Korean and introduced another fine musician, Jeongju-jeong, who is helping us today. Now Maria will repeat just hello in Korean so that you can say it too.
안녕하세요.
Good. Now that you can say hello, get ready for a story. This is a popular tale in Korea, for it proves that with a little luck and a clever mind, you can go far. Grain of Millet. Once there was a man who journeyed to the capital city to take the national exam. With him, he carried a tiny grain of millet. It looked very small, but he knew that it might be of use. After a day's journey, he came to an inn and gave the little grain to the innkeeper, saying, "Guard this well. It may be my fortune." But in the morning, the innkeeper sadly told him that a rat had eaten the grain of millet. "Then I'll take the rat," said the man, and he did. He walked and walked that day, and at night stopped again at an inn. Giving the rat to the innkeeper, he said, "Guard this well, it may bring me wealth." But in the morning, the unhappy innkeeper told him that a cat had killed the rat that ate the grain of millet. "Then I'll take the cat," said the man, and he did. He walked and walked and walked that day too, and that night stopped again at an inn. Giving the cat to the innkeeper there, he said, "Take care of this, it is my treasure." But in the morning, the innkeeper said with a frown that his horse had stepped on the cat that killed the rat that ate the grain of millet. "Then I'll take the horse," said the man, and he did. That night, after a long day's ride, he stopped at another inn and gave the horse to the innkeeper, telling him to watch it well. However, early the next day, the innkeeper reported sadly that his ox had hurt the horse that stepped on the cat that killed the rat that ate the grain of millet. "Then I'll take the ox," said the young man, and he did. After a long day's walk, he stayed in a room right outside the great city. He gave his ox to the innkeeper there, asking him to keep it safe. But as the sun crawled up the next day, the innkeeper ran to the man, crying, "Forgive me, sir. My son just sold your ox to a nobleman in the city." "Then bring the nobleman here," demanded the young scholar. Well, the innkeeper rushed to the nobleman's house and told him of the problem. The nobleman was intrigued and called for the man to come. The young scholar went boldly into that rich house and said, "I want my ox back right now." "But, sir," answered the nobleman, "we have already cooked and eaten it." "Then give me the first person who tasted it," demanded the scholar. And he told the tale of the millet, the rat, the cat, the horse, and the ox. The nobleman was most impressed with the good fortune and the good mind of the young man. "Dear friend," he said at last, "my daughter was the first to eat your ox. Since we are seeking a bridegroom for her, and you seem quite right, perhaps this was meant to be." So soon after, the two young people were happily married, and the young man did very well on the exam, bringing more honor to his new home. From then on, he lived in great good fortune, and it all came from one small grain of millet. Do green frogs in Korea say ribbit? Well, our next story may just tell you. Before the tale, we'd like you to hear how some more animals sound in Korean. Maria will say each sound slowly, and you can repeat them after her.
Dog.
Mong mong.
Rooster. Kokio, kokio. Cat. Meow, meow. Pig.
Gul 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 gul.
Frog.
Gaggle gaggle, gaggle gaggle, gaggle gaggle.
And now the tale, another favorite in Korea. The Green Frog. Once there lived a young green frog who was a very naughty little frog. He never, ever did what his mother said. He always did exactly the opposite. If his mother said, "Sit down now," he would jump as high as he could. If his mother said, "Try catching some flies," his mouth closed shut. If she said, "Hop over here," he would hop over there. This poor froggy mother, even though she loved her little son, never had an easy moment. She worked very hard, but at last her son was all grown up and catching his own flies. Now she relaxed for some time, and then one day grew very ill and knew that she would soon change worlds. She did not mind dying, since she had lived a long life for a frog. But she did want to be buried well, in a place of good fortune, for that is important indeed. So she looked and looked all around and finally found a perfect spot on the top of a lovely hill. However, she thought to herself, if I tell my son to bury me on top of the hill, he will certainly bury me at the bottom, near the river, and my body might slip into the water when it rains and be lost forever. So I will be clever, she decided. I shall tell him to bury me at the bottom of the hill, and he will bury me at the top. Well pleased with herself, she called for her son. My son, you've been a good little froggy once in a while, she said. And I know you love me, so you will do what I ask. After I die, please, please, bury me at the bottom of the hill, at the bottom of the hill, she repeated. Yes, mother, yes, I promise, at the bottom, said her son. And soon after that, the mother frog died, well satisfied. But her son was very sad, and he suddenly regretted all the trouble that he had caused her. I wasn't always the nicest son, he sighed. But I know what I can do to make up for it. This time, I'll do exactly what she asked me to do, and not the opposite. Yes, yes, I will. So happily, he gave his mother a fine funeral and carefully buried her at the bottom of the hill, right near the river, just as she had told him to do. But when the rains began to fall, he grew worried. My mother's body may slide right down the bank, fall into the river, and get lost in the muddy water, he thought. How terrible! And he started to croak with a great, unhappy heart. Gaggle, gaggle, gaggle. He sounded so mournful that his frog friends came up and said, "Why are you croaking like that?" He told them, and they felt so badly that they too cried when the next rains came. Gaggle, 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 gaggle. Soon the frogs down the river heard those sorrowful croaks, and they asked why. When they knew, they joined in too. Gaggle, 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 gaggle. Now perhaps one day you may go to that same river in Korea, the one at the foot of the hill. If you listen carefully when it rains there, you may still hear the sad croaks of those green frogs. And when you do, now You will know why. For our next story, we'd like you to know some Korean numbers and a few names for people and families, because I will use some of these words. Ready to repeat after Maria?
하나, 둘, 셋, 넷, 다섯.
And the family names.
어머니, 아버지, 할머니, 할아버지.
Mother, father, grandmother, grandfather. Now, enjoy the story, and perhaps you'll hear the words. Two brothers. Long ago, when tigers smoked long pipes, there were two brothers who lived near each other. The elder brother was the richer, yet he was so greedy and stingy that he would squeeze the blood of a flea for a drink. The younger brother was kind and good, with a heart as fine as brocade, but he had little of wealth. One fall day, the younger brother went into the mountains, hoping to find some food. When he saw a tree full of nuts, he reached up and plucked one, saying, "This is for Abaji." But suddenly, behind him a voice said,
"Abaji."
He picked another nut. "This is for Amarni." And the voice echoed,
"Amarni."
A little shiver ran up his back, but he reached for one more. "And this is for Harabaji."
"Harabaji,"
repeated the voice. Now the man wondered and worried. Who was behind him? Who or what was saying those words? Should he turn around or just ignore them? He decided to pick some more nuts and see what happened. "Here's another for Abaji," he said, and heard,
"Abaji."
Carefully, with his fingers shaking a little, he reached for one more, saying, "And another for Harabaji."
"Harabaji."
The man now felt quite nervous. His spine seemed almost as soft as bean curd. He was all alone up in the mountain, except for the thing behind him. Maybe it was a ghost or a strange creature like a tokebi. He just had to know. So he took a deep breath to give him courage and slowly bent down to pick up a stick. Then he stood up and suddenly spun round, raised his stick and saw nothing. Absolutely nothing. He looked up in the trees and saw nothing. Then he looked down on the ground and found a turtle. "A turtle? Talking?" he said.
"Why not?"
said the voice. "I've never met a talking turtle," said the man.
"Now you have," the turtle replied.
The man eagerly invited the turtle to his home, and they returned together. His wife and parents were delighted with the turtle. They all talked and laughed the whole night long. In the morning, the turtle agreed to go with the man to a nearby village. There, the man spread out his best mat, placed the turtle gently upon it, and called, "Come, hear a talking turtle." A crowd soon gathered, and the man addressed the turtle in a polite voice. "Please, dear friend, we would be honored if you could count for us." And the turtle said,
"Hana, dul, set, net, tasot."
All who heard marveled at the turtle. They asked for more, so the turtle kept on talking. As he spoke, the people threw coins. By the end of the day, the turtle's talk had filled a big bag, so the two returned happily home. The next morning, when the man was counting the money, his elder brother came over. "Where did you get all this?" he demanded. "Here, brother, take some," offered the young man.
It came from a turtle.
A turtle?
Yes, a talking turtle.
Talking turtle? Where is it? I want it. Give it to me. I'm your elder brother.
Well, remember that he is my good friend, said the brother. If he agrees, you may take him for a day, but be very careful. And so it was arranged. The greedy man grabbed the turtle, and thinking only of gold, carried him roughly to the village. He tossed him on the ground there and called out,
"Hurry, hurry here and throw money. This turtle looks funny, but he sure can talk."
People soon gathered, eager to hear the turtle again. The man turned to the turtle and barked,
"Talk! Talk! Now talk!"
But there was no answer.
"You silly turtle, speak!"
Only silence.
"Come on, turtle!"
But the turtle was as quiet as a thief bitten by a dog. Soon, the people began to laugh and snicker and walk away. The man was furious. He pushed the turtle in a sack, rushed to his brother's home, and threw it on the ground, shouting,
"Take this back! It's useless!"
Then he stormed home. The kind brother heard the noise and ran out. He opened the sack and saw his turtle, with its back broken. Its heart stopped. He picked the turtle up gently, and with his family, he gave it a fine burial in the best part of his little yard. In the morning, he arose sadly, thinking still of the turtle. He walked outside to wash, and then stopped in wonder. For there, growing right out of the turtle's grave, was a tree that grew and grew and grew. Like magic. While he watched, the leaves spread wide in welcome. That evening, as he stood under the tree, admiring it and remembering his friend, gold and silver suddenly poured down upon him. And just then, his greedy brother came by.
"Where did this come from?" he growled, kicking the coins.
"From my turtle," said his brother. "Please, please, take some."
"No, I don't want your old coins. I want my own tree," cried the brother. Then he reached up and yanked off the biggest branch. He raced home quicker than a crab hiding its eyes. He planted the branch, splashed water all over it, and it grew, too. Soon it was large and green and inviting, so he called to his wife, who was as greedy as he.
"Hurry up and stand here. Bring some big bags, very big bags. We have lots of gold to catch."
So the two stood there, thinking greedy thoughts, holding their bags wide open, and waiting for the gold to rain down. Well, something did drop down into their bags, in their hair, on their clothes, all over them. Some things, not gold, not silver, but worms, centipedes, poison spiders, snakes, and other crawling creatures that chased the two as they ran and ran, crying, "Help! Help!" At last, after a long and horrid time, they reached safety on a nearby hill. And when they returned home much later, the brother realized that his greed brought only trouble. He went to his younger brother and begged his forgiveness. And from that day on, the two brothers lived in harmony, sharing everything, both good and bad. Stories about tricks are popular all over the world. I like this first small trick because the boy who played it grew up to be a very famous admiral, Admiral Yi Sun Shin, who lived 400 years ago. He invented the famous turtle ships, fighting boats that had a curved top covered with iron and spikes. These ships were strong and most useful in the fight against invaders from the east. Admiral Yi Sun Shin is admired still today in Korea for his courage, honesty, and knowledge. And, as this trick shows, even as a boy, the admiral knew how to think quickly and well. One day when this hero was still a boy,
his father came into the room where he was studying and said, "My son, I see that you study well, but I wish to know if your wits are also sharp. So I have a challenge. I am standing now here in this room. Can you make me leave the room using only your words?" The boy thought for a moment and sadly shook his head. "No, father. Since you are already in the room, how can I make you leave it? That is impossible. However, if you were standing outside the room, I think that I could make you come in using my words." Wishing to give his son another chance, the father walked out of the room and spoke. "Now try. Try to make me come in." "I don't need to, father," said the boy with a laugh, "for I already did what you first asked me to do. I made you leave this room, didn't I?" Our last story is about another, rather strange trick that taught a lesson. The Lazy Man. Long ago, when tigers smoked long pipes, there was a very, very, very lazy man. He was so lazy that his wife put food in his mouth with her chopsticks. He was so lazy that he only slept and ate and slept again. When he was awake for a little while, he loved to watch his wife and children work, but he hated to do anything for himself. This made it very difficult for his family. His wife gently urged him to work a bit from time to time, but he only yawned and told her not to bother him. Then one year the crops failed, and his wife pleaded with him. "My husband, you must help us. If you don't work, we will soon have no food." "Oh, you talk too much," he said, closing his eyes. "You make me tired. Quiet while I rest." And he took another nap. But he also decided to leave that house and the threat of work and to find a peaceful place where he could just sleep and sleep. So in the afternoon, when his wife was in the fields, he left the house, taking with him a bundle of the cloth she had woven. He slowly walked on until he came to a hut on a ridge. There he stopped for some water and found an old man carving wood. "What are you making?" he asked. A mask of an ox," replied the old man. "What is it for?" "Oh, I'll find a use," said the mask maker. Everyone in the world has some use." "Not me," bragged the man. "I'm lazy day and night." "Oh, you are in luck then," the old man said, "for this mask will bring much good fortune when worn by a truly lazy man." "Well, that would be me," said the man, since he could always use good fortune, especially if he didn't have to work for it. So he put on the mask, and it fit. It fit so perfectly that it felt like a second skin. A skin, though, with ox hair and the smell of an ox. It frightened him, and he tried to pull it off, but the mask stayed on, squeezing his face, changing it into that of an ox. Then the old man picked up an ox hide from the floor and threw it on him. That stuck too, and his back started to bend over. His arms grew stiff and reached down to the ground. Just then a tail sprouted. He realized with horror that he had turned into an ox. "Help!" He tried to cry, but only the sound of an ox came out. Quickly the old man put a rope around his neck and led him to the village, where he was sold to a farmer. "Be careful," warned the old man. "This ox is peculiar. Don't let him eat a radish, for if he does, he will die." The farmer pulled the ox. The young man refused to move. he stood there. Then he felt suddenly a sharp whip fall on his back. He cried in pain, but it was only the bellow of an ox. No one listened. So he learned to go when the farmer said go. And he learned to work hard, very hard. He was up before the sun rose, busy plowing and carrying heavy loads until long after the sun set. He worked and worked for days, weeks, and months. And at night in the stable, his body ached and his heart cried for his family and home. Finally, one night, exhausted and desperate, he knew that he could not live much longer as an ox. And all of a sudden, he remembered the old man's warning about radishes. "Aha! That's what I'll do. I'll eat a radish," thought the ox man. "Then I'll have the peace and rest of death." The next morning, on his way to the field, he saw a radish near the path. Quickly, he pulled it up and gulped it down, eager to die. But he did not die. Instead, he found himself slowly standing up. He felt his ox face fall away from him and turn back to wood. Then his tail dropped off. He looked down and saw human skin once again on his arms. He also saw a most astonished farmer standing with his mouth open, staring at what used to be his ox. The young man explained everything and walked happily away as the farmer, shaking his head in wonder, went off to buy a new ox. Like a dragon, the young man raced home now. As he passed the ridge, he searched for the old man's house, but it was gone. Instead, he saw the bundle of cloth that he had taken so long ago. He picked it up and hurried on. His family was overjoyed to see him again, for they thought him long dead. The neighbors, when they heard his tale, said that the old man was really a fox who vanished after he played his trick. From then on, the man worked very hard for his family, bringing great good fortune, just as the old fox had promised. On the wall, the man hung the ox mask, and whenever he felt even a little bit lazy, he just looked at the mask and went right back to work. Kamsahamnida. Thank you. Thank you for listening. We would like to leave now with some special Korean music played by Maria on the drum and Jeongju, who will play the lovely stringed Korean instrument, the kayadam. Please enjoy it.
The proceeding was a production of the Korea Society. For more information on our programs, please visit www.koreasociety.org.